I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock. The storms may rage and the billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock. No earthly storm e'er can move my soul. I'm on the everlasting rock. Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
I am secure, for my faith will hold.
I'm on the everlasting rock. Everlasting rock.
My life he doth with his love enfold.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock. Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Thank you, men. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm delighted to have you with me. Some of you listening may not know that this program, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry using radio, internet, print media, and more to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. By God's grace and by your prayers and gifts, we now produce and sponsor programming in English and 16 other major languages. And one of the blessings of being a part of this work is to read the testimonies that we periodically receive. I hope this one encourages you. It's actually the transcript from a phone call. I live in southern Ethiopia, and I am a regular listener to your Oromo language program. We meet every Tuesday morning, and it's so wonderful to listen to the program before I start my work. We listen together as a family to the program. We pray together, and then we go out for our duties. We pray for this ministry to be expanded into a longer broadcast time. I cannot read or write, and so could I please ask for an audio Bible? I will be able to listen to the audio Bible through the tape recorder or other means. Please help me grow in Christ. God bless you. That's a wonderful testimony, and this person is blessed because of your prayers and gifts. And did you catch the final detail of the testimony? The caller is illiterate, so the radio or recorded messages are critical for their spiritual growth and blessing. Praise God. We can provide that.
Come, let us all unite to sing God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring. God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. Redemption found, God is love. His blood has washed our sins away. His spirit turned our night to day. And now we can rejoice to say that God is love. 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 God is love.
our study last time, we looked at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 25 to 32. And we focused in particularly on verses 25 to 28. The theme of this whole section is put on the new man. And we noted three changes of behavior that occur in the life of a believer who is putting on the new man. Those changes were, we will trust the truth, we will release our wrath, and we will work for welfare. We looked at these changes and we discussed practical ways of implementing them in our lives. Now today, our study focuses on the remaining verses, verses 29 to 32. These verses are closely connected to those from last week, but I felt there was just too much in these eight verses to cover in one program. So we separated them into two sections under the same title, Putting on the New Man. As we continue our study today, let's remember this teaching stands in the larger context of the book of Ephesians, the church as the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church, and we are instructed how to relate to him and how to relate to each other within that body. Our text is Ephesians 4, verses 25 to 32. And here is God's word to us. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In these verses, the Apostle Paul highlights additional changes of behavior that will occur as we put on the new man. The next change is we will reject worthless words. Paul speaks of corrupt communication or worthless words. Corrupt means putrid, rotten, or worthless. And communication is the word logos. This is the word that's used to refer to Christ as the living word. John chapter 1 states, "In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God." And so the Logos is something that is said. It's a word conveying a thought or an idea. Words are the vehicles we use to express what we're thinking. So why this command to reject worthless words? Well, those who use words that are morally rotten often do so in an attempt to impress others with their knowledge of evil or their involvement in sinful behavior. Many years ago, I worked in a factory, and some of the people there tried to outdo each other by bragging about their shameful deeds. And then there are other people who are good and moral in their own eyes who would never say things like that, but they will say hurtful things to another person or about another person, trying to build up their reputation in the eyes of other people. Many of you listening wouldn't be part of that first group bragging about shameful behavior. But what about the things you and I say about other people, and especially our brothers and sisters? You probably know this, but the average person uses several thousand words every day. And so if someone were able to record all your speech for a day and then play it back, what would that recording reveal? How many of your words or my words might be considered worthless? If they're not morally rotten, they can still be worthless. Paul says, no corrupt communication, but instead, whatever is good. It's good if it will bring benefit into the life of the person who hears it. That's quite a standard to meet, isn't it? The specific wording is that which is good to the use of edifying. To edify is to build up. It's the act by which we promote growth in another person. And that's especially in the context of putting on the new man. So by our words, we help people to grow in wisdom and in holiness and in happiness. This verse closes by telling us our words should minister grace to those who hear. Our words should supply joy and delight and pleasure and sweetness to those who hear us. Looking back on my spiritual journey, I see how the Holy Spirit has worked in me to put off worthless words and to put on words that bless others. I must admit, however, there are still too many words of mine that don't pass this test. But my desire is to continue rejecting worthless words as I put on the new man. The next change involved in putting on the new man is we will submit to the Spirit. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? In this context, worthless words bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. If our words are morally impure, that's often the result of talking carelessly or in a derogatory way about our human sexuality. What God has given for His glory, for our benefit and enjoyment, and for the continuation of the human race, we often treat too lightly or with contempt. What God has meant to be sacred and private has often been profaned and held up for public ridicule. So imagine how you would feel if someone took something you meant for good and twisted it into something shameful and degrading. How would you feel? But going back to our earlier discussion, are your words those which build up your brothers and sisters? And if not, how does that bring sorrow to the heart of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's remember, each of us is made in the image of God. When we say unkind things, particularly about a person's physical appearance, especially things they cannot change, we're criticizing God, the one who created them just as He wanted them to be. And I believe this brings sorrow to our Father and to the Spirit. We're instructed many times in the Word to be as compassionate to others as God has been to us. You have probably grown past the childish immaturity of mocking people's physical appearance. But what about when we do and say things that defame another's character or cause others to question their integrity? We need to understand, especially in the context of our local church body, that God has brought into that body those He needs to accomplish His purposes. So every member is needed, regardless of whether or not we, in our limited human understanding, can see the place they are to fill. Verse 25 from our previous study reminds us that we are members one of another. We can't function as a body independently of each other or independently of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the one who gives the gifts according to His knowledge of Christ's plan for the church and for our role in it. When we refuse to accept our role, we are critical of the Holy Spirit, and I believe He is grieved. Now, why is it so important that we learn to submit to the Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the seal of God's approval on our lives. Paul mentions that first in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, and then he picks up the idea again in this verse. The Holy Spirit is the down payment on our eternal inheritance. God has put His mark upon us for identification, for security, and for preservation. By submitting to the Spirit of God, we guarantee our preservation until the time of our full and complete redemption. That's a tremendous blessing. So let's learn how to submit to the Spirit as we put on the new man. And then the final change in putting on the new man is we will forgive as Christ forgave. Looking at these last two verses, we quickly see the contrast of things to put off and things to put on. The list begins with bitterness. What is bitterness? Well, a look at an Old Testament account will be helpful. I know the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but there was a Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint, and it provides insight into the meaning of some Greek words. In our case, the word bitterness. So let me read a few verses to you from 2 Kings chapter 4. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one of them went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds, and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened, as they were eating the stew, that they cried out and said, "Man of God, there's death in the pot." And they could not eat it. So he said, "Then bring some flour." And he put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people that they may eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. So the gourds these men gathered were so bitter and acrid, they became a kind of poison. And that's what bitterness is. It's a poison that lodges in the hearts of those who refuse to forgive. It destroys those who let it take root in their lives. And so it's no wonder to me that it tops the list of things to put off. Bitterness comes by rejecting God's grace. In every situation we face, God provides the grace we need to forgive. If we reject that grace or we refuse it, we become bitter, and that bitterness will spread. In addition to spiritual and social consequences, there are also physical consequences to bitterness. Bitterness has the potential to destroy us, spirit, soul, and body. Next on the list is wrath. Wrath is anger that has been embraced in our mind and spirit, nursed by the pain of our hurts, either real or perceived. Anger can lie dormant under the surface, but then explode in an instant. You've probably seen someone explode over a minor incident and you wondered, what's the big deal? But what you probably didn't know is that person is harboring anger in their heart, and it only takes a certain amount of frustration to trigger it. Their response is not in the same measure as the provocation. Anger is next on the list, and we talked about anger in part one of this message and the importance of resolving offenses promptly. As I think about anger, it's most often a response to the violation of my rights or my expectations. How many of us have gotten angry at another driver on the highway who passes us and then he cuts right in front of us? Why did we get angry? Because in our minds, we had the right to that spot on the pavement. Have you ever gotten angry because you came home from work and your wife didn't have supper ready at the agreed upon time? Again, anger arises from unfulfilled expectations. And we are told here to put off anger. The next thing we're to put off is clamor. You know, when I read that word, I think of cymbals clashing together. It's just noise. Acts 23, verse 9 gives us insight into the meaning of this word. And there arose a great cry, or a great clamor. And the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God." This was a loud cry, a loud clamor that was brought on by strife, by argument. Remember, the scripture says, "A soft answer turns away wrath." And according to Colossians 4:6, our speech should always be gracious. The next thing we're to put off is evil speaking, and this is different than the worthless words we talked about earlier. The original word here is blasphemia. It refers to slander or defamation, or speech that's injurious to a person's name or character. When we say things about another person with the intention of making others think negatively about them, that is evil speaking. The final thing in the list that we're to put off is malice. And this speaks to the depravity of our old nature. Malice is the motivation to make trouble, to stir up strife and division. That's part of who we were. That's part of the old man. But now we need to put that off in favor of the instruction that is given to us in the final verse. And I am so glad this chapter ends on a positive note. We are to put on kindness. We're to be mild, to be pleasant, to be agreeable, quick to see the good in others and slow to accentuate the negative, willing to bear with the faults of others, knowing our own faults. We're to be tender-hearted. We're to show compassion and sympathy to others. You know, many times in the Gospels, we read that Jesus had compassion on people. He was sympathetic to their plight. Some of them were bound by demonic spirits, some by physical infirmities, or some by immoral habits. Others were bound by covetousness and greed. But Jesus demonstrated compassion to all of them. Paul brings this section to a climax by saying that we ought to forgive ourselves and others as Christ has forgiven us. This is the pinnacle of Christ-likeness, of putting on the new man. Christ loved us, he died for us, and he made provision for our forgiveness, even when we were his enemies. And now he's calling us, you and me, as his followers, to walk by his example. My friend, if you're a Christ follower, I ask you these questions. Will you reject worthless words? Will you submit to the Holy Spirit and not cause him grief? Will you forgive your brothers and sisters the way Christ forgave you? Today, I'm renewing my commitment to cooperate with the Spirit of God as he calls forth these changes in my life. Will you join me in putting on the new man?
Says it all. There's no way to explain how a sinner like me could become a child of the King. There's no way I can tell how I could be poor, yet have riches beyond my dream. I can't describe God's mercy to me when I stumble and fall. The more I try, the more I find, forgiven says it all. Forgiven says it all. Forgiven says it all. No other word can say enough. Forgiven says it all. When I try to explain what God's done for me, one word is all I need. Though I don't understand all it means, forgiven says it all.
How can people rejoice with their hands lifted high in the midst of suffering and pain? How can they praise the Lord with their dying breath as they whisper his precious name? I wonder why there's love in their hearts and such peace in their souls. It's 'cause they've heard love's sweetest word. Forgiven says it all. Forgiven says it all. Forgiven says it all. No other word can say enough. Forgiven says it all. When I try to explain what God's done for me, one word is all I need. Though I don't understand all it means, forgiven says it all. Forgiven says it all. Forgiven says it all.
Thank you, men. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, Putting on the New Man. You can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your comments to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and use the Contact Us button that's right there on the homepage. And there's also a place there for you to submit a prayer request. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching, Putting on the New Man. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week here on The Voice of Hope. And until we meet again,